Broadcasting live. Good evening, Blockhead Nation. Thank you for stopping by once again to check out the show. You are listening to your favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and warriors inside the octagon the next. I am your host. My name is Brian Little. Thank you so much for coming by and listening to this show. You can expect on here, we're going to talk about three things. One, that God is king. Two, that Peanuts is the single most successful comic strip in American history, and mixed martial arts is the greatest sport under God's hot sun. I will say this, coming right out of the gates, that we do have a new book that has been released by my friend Lou, also known as Lutrition. You can check out that link at yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog, lutrition.net. That's lutrition.net. If you want to reach out to him about getting his newest book, Change is the Only Constant. I'm reading it right now. I'm currently in the chapter about choice. Really enjoying the journey so far. And also, to throw out a huge shout out, it was great to hear Loud and Opinionated and Casually Kicking It, mixing it up on the YFB Network. To hear those guys jump on and do a podcast, talk about what's going on in the world of football, throwing the pigskin around up and down the gridiron. You guys that happen to like football, you can go check out that show. You can also check out everybody on the network. You get everything from racing to professional wrestling to diaries and journal entries. And also, our friend Ride with Dan will be finishing his trek. The mission will continue, but the ride will be completed this month. Super excited about that, so make sure you're following Ride with Dan USA. Go ahead and get it out here now. October 2nd, me and today's date. It was on this day, 71 years ago, that the first ever comic strip of the Peanuts was released to the American public. Definitely something to celebrate today. It's on Charles Schulz Museum. I shared it on my Facebook. Also making sure that we at least examine what happened in this particular comic strip. Now, we see Charlie Brown in his original form, and we happen to have some dialogue from Shermie. Now, he's been mentioned on here a couple of times. He seemed like an antagonist to start off in the early parts of the comic strip. And eventually, he kind of falls through the cracks. And then the title is taken for Lucy and her cronies to be a uphill battle for poor Charlie Brown. We should probably know that by now if you haven't been following the strips or don't know the TV show or even the movie. You can tell who is the opposition for Charlie Brown, which I'll get to that on one section on this episode about some misconceptions about Charlie Brown and Lucy. But if you look in this particular comic strip, you see Charlie Brown just walking down the street, and underneath the lamppost you have Shermie and another female friend, and you hear him saying, "Here comes good old Charlie Brown, yes sir." And it ends on, it seems like a very angry note, "How I hate him." But either way, you don't find a whole lot of true anger. You find frustration all the way through the Peanuts comic strip. But what you can't find is also some different perceptions of love, believe it or not. That was actually the original intent for this episode. But once I learned that that was the day of the comic strip, we have to make sure we acknowledge it. Happy 71st anniversary to the greatest comic strip in America. So we go ahead and get that. Now, we should all know that perception is reality. And the perception of Peanuts really has evolved in just so many ways over the years to the TV show and the movie, but they stay so true to the comic if you look for it. There are not a whole lot of flaws if you look at the evolving of the TV shows. And one of them, I had an example about the perception of love that I did want to share briefly with you guys that are listening, that's from the episode Snoopy Come Home. It seems at first like this is a little bit confusing, but, you know, Peppermint Patty is working her mojo on Charlie Brown. You know, many times people have asked me about who was infatuated with Charlie Brown. There's no doubt that it was Peppermint Patty and Marcy, but this was a real-life depiction of somebody that Sparky actually had a deep affection for, the little red-headed girl. But in this particular episode, he goes and he goes to the carnival with Peppermint Patty. They're taking a minute to have their cotton candy. And she just blatantly comes out and asks him when they sit on the bench, what do you think love is, Chuck? And he goes into this weird little spiel talking about years ago his dad owned a two-door sedan. Of course, she cuts him off and says, what has that got to do with love? Well, if you'll allow the poor kid to finish, then I think we can start to get to the bottom of it. And it's saying that there was this girl that his dad would always pick up in his car. And to show that chivalry is not dead, that he would open the car door for this girl. And when he would close the door, he would walk around the back of the car to the driver's side. But just as he's getting to the door, she'd reach over and she would press the lock button. Of course, that's going to cause for some interesting discussion there about her sitting in the car locked inside. And apparently she would just sit there and wiggle her nose and grin. And in Charlie Brown's eyes, he thinks that's what love is. He thinks that it's playfulness. He sees it as this man goes above and beyond for the woman he likes, and she has a different way of showing that she likes him by making him a little bit flustered. So either way, and of course, this flies all over Peppermint Patty, and she simply says, sometimes I wonder about you, Chuck. It's the perception that happens here, and the perception is reality. Peppermint Patty's perception is, you should be saying something in the context of love that is a tickling in my ears. But of course, poor Charlie Brown's in a very different planet when it comes to those two. So a big contrast between the two. Either way, nothing ever happened, as you may have never checked out with Peppermint Patty or Marcy. But there's always some sweet moments between the two of them that would happen here and there. But also when it comes to the perception of Lucy and Charlie Brown, guys, I am seeing people, and they're even asking me about having cake toppers that have Charlie Brown and Lucy. Apparently this is happening at weddings. It's not my job to call out the misconception, but I'm going to go ahead and say it now. If you are getting a cake topper that has Charlie Brown and Lucy getting married, the wheels have already fallen off of the bus at this point. You clearly are not following the comic strip, or whoever has made these items for you to use in your wedding. This is not ever how this was supposed to pan out. If you were going to be true to the comic strip, it would be Charlie Brown alongside of the little redhead girl, which most people don't even know her name is Heather. Or maybe if you want to be even closer to reality, you could have one for Charlie Brown and Marcy, for him to finally succumb to her, who clearly had an interest in Charlie Brown. So it's fun to kind of go down these little rabbit trails to be able just to touch on each one when it comes to the anniversary of the comic strip. And I thank you guys for continuing to come here and share these quick little snippets with me. I've been on Clubhouse a couple of times and they're asking me these questions. And I'll just say, if you're going to have a wedding, please consider something like The Simpsons with Homer and Marge. If you're going to be accurate, please do not use Charlie Brown and Lucy for your cake topper. That is my public service announcement, and I am complete. I think that's a phrase they use in Clubhouse, and I approve this message. Blockhead Nation, thank you once again for tuning into this episode of the Your Favorite Blockhead Podcast. This show is sponsored by KitCaster. Guys, did you know that having a podcast is a great way to grow not only your personal brand, but your business? Here's the secret. We all want to feel connected to brands we buy from. And what better way to humanize a brand than through sharing your story on a podcast? That's where KitCaster comes in. KitCaster is a podcast booking agency that specializes in developing real human connections through podcast appearances. Whether you're an expert in the field or you just have a unique story to share, it's time to explore the world of podcasting with KitCaster. Go to the link at kitcaster.com/blockhead to apply for a special offer for listeners of this show. That's kitcaster.com/blockhead. You'll find that in the blog, the notes for today's show. Let's get back to the episode. Our scripture reading for this episode comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to to grasp how wide and long and wide and deep is the love of Christ. Guys, pulling this straight from blueletterbible.org, I think there's a few of you out here that might need to hear this message, myself included. This is from David Guzik. He says, to come to any understanding of the dimensions of God's love, we must come to the cross. It pointed in four directions, essentially saying that his love is so wide that it includes every person. God's love is long enough to last through all of eternity. Hear what I'm about to say here. God's love for you is so deep that it reaches the worst sinner. And his love is so high that he can take you to heaven. Hear those words, guys. You are not defined by what you've done. You're defined by who you are when you hide yourself in Christ. Now, getting into mixed martial arts, now, there's a few of y'all that have been coming to my show and are looking for how do you combine these two worlds? Well, Peanuts comic strip happens to be an art, am I correct? There's something about MMA, if you look at the actual acronym, it's Mixed Martial Arts. Many people tune in to the UFC and Bellator and all these prize fighting championships that are out there simply for the fighting. There is something called an art. It's called mixed martial arts. And one of the examples I can give you is from Friday night. Now, Bellator happens to have a main event, which is kind of strange to me, that if this is for a championship bout or if this is really the main event, then it's not, it should be a 5-round fight. But we have for the main event, the second go around, we have Douglas Lima and Michael Venom Page run it back. Okay? And if you look at Douglas Lima, even though this guy is a veteran of the sport and he is very textbook in what he does, there's something to the art that you can find in Douglas Lima. I know he's coming off of a loss, and some of y'all that don't know about this fight, Michael Venom Page pulls out a split decision. Okay? It's blowing up all over the internet that this was a wrong call, that Douglas Lima should have won the fight. Now, if we just break it down in the simple form of where the art is and where the fighting is, the art is in the control. So if you look at the first round, MVP knocks down Douglas Lima twice. So clearly we got to give the first round to MVP in most aspects. But at the end of the round, Douglas Lima does take him to the ground and does exercise ground control. There is something to the art to be said in that. It's the second round and the third round that's up for discussion. Really the second round more than anything else. From the judge's perspective, for somebody to have that much damage, we give it to MVP for round one. Round two and round three, many of the viewers are saying that Douglas Lima controlled that fight all the way to the end and were given a split decision. And this is also unfortunately what happens when you leave it in the hands of the judges. When it gets there, you have their perception, which becomes reality because the scorecards get determined and we have somebody's hand who's raised and the fans are either happy or not happy. That's how my sport works. So there's art in the control, but it's damage that seems to be winning these fights. If you're not following that, clearly the first round being explosive for MVP, a guy who also has the persona that I can see Bellator wanting to get behind moving forward. Because I'm wondering, now that the flagship is over in the UFC, Michael Chandler no longer be signed, being licensed with Bellator, who's leading the charge? And I kept thinking, maybe it's going to be Douglas Lima. Maybe it's AJ McKee. It seems to me like the promotion wants to push MVP because the storytelling very much favors him. This is almost a replica of Israel Adesanya in many ways. So if you look at just MVP, we got to give him the first round, even though there's some control towards the end by Lima. Second round comes around, you have a lot more low calf kicks, leg kicks that are done by Douglas Lima, and a lot of textbook just carrying out what's considered mixed martial arts. Not a whole lot of fight, not a lot of damage being done to his opponent. And either way, I don't have a dog in this race. I'm not upset about the outcome, but there's clearly some fans' perspective that are saying that Lima should have had this fight. But as an ultimate result, this is what happens when you leave it in the hands of the judges. So moving forward, before I get into tonight's fight, if you still want to tune in, there's time. You can still check these guys out that are fighting tonight. Nico Price, explosive guy to watch. Kevin Holland, a lot of fun to watch with trash talking. Yes, we got Johnny Walker and Thiago Santos. And people ask me, what's my prediction? I'm going to probably go ahead and go with Slow Hand Johnny. No, that's not his nickname. That's actually a nickname that Rolling Stone magazine gave to John Mayer. But there's something about the timing that Johnny Walker has in his punches. So if I'm going to give it to anybody, I'm looking that direction. But Thiago Santos might very well control this one from the ground to the stand-up. We're going to see a pretty interesting fight for tonight. If you want to check out a free main event, it's worth your time. But I have to just stop the presses now and just give some praise for one particular fighter. Oh, Dan Hooker. If ever there was a guy that we can show respect for, if ever there was a guy that you don't have a solid disagreement with me on this, Dan Hooker has now officially taken what I call the Khamzat Chimaev approach. In 1 month, he's already going to be stepping back into the cage. Now, that's not enough to paint the narrative here. Promotion is storytelling, perception is reality. The reality is, after a grueling fight with Nasrat, he's already taken a month's time where he will not even be able to go back to New Zealand to spend time with his family. He's going straight with his team to Abu Dhabi to be facing none other than, wow, Khabib 2.0, Islam Makhachev. We've already got Dan Hooker versus Makhachev. I have to give him a round of applause simply for taking this fight. Guys, if I haven't laid out the groundwork for you, let's go back a little bit. Dan Hooker, the guy who gave Dustin Poirier the fight of his life. One of the best stand-up fights I've ever seen. If you needed a high point during the COVID pandemic, it was Dan Hooker versus Dustin Poirier. Then he stubs his toe going in against Michael Chandler. You can't get too mad about that one. Michael Chandler is hungry and wants to take over the lightweights, is getting in there with Justin Gaethje, which is a great birthday present for yours truly. But for Dan Hooker to take that loss, just to collect himself and come back and face Nasrat as beautifully as he had in this last fight, and he's already stepping into the cage 1 month away with the top five, easily one of the most dangerous lightweights, the guy who is a protege of Khabib, the greatest record in all of mixed martial arts, 29-0, and he is the cornerman for Islam. And Islam is a wrestling and control machine. Oh, this is a scary fight for all the right reasons. This is going to be a beautiful, beautiful narrative leading up to. If I have not made you a fan of Dan Hooker, I understand that. If I have not helped you gain some respect for Dan Hooker, then maybe you shouldn't tune into my show. That's pretty harsh to say. You don't have to jump on the bandwagon and be a Dan Hooker fan from New Zealand. But to look at the record and how quickly, in the turnaround, he's going in to face Islam in Abu Dhabi. No time to go home. Straight with the camp. Straight into another fight. Guys, mad respect on my end. And if you don't have respect for Dan Hooker at this point, what more could he possibly do to gain your respect? And that fight is going to be fireworks. So if you still want to check out Santos versus Walker tonight, by all means, enjoy the free fights tonight. But if I can ever convince you of somebody who deserves the respect of not only the MMA community, but the Blockhead Nation, or anybody who wants to tune in, it's the Hangman Dan Hooker. There's your perception that should be a reality. There's your promotion, the storytelling from this end, from this Peanuts fan who's also a mixed martial arts fan who can't wait to see this fight. And I am thoroughly impressed. Happy Halloween. The Great Pumpkin does exist, and he's going to be bringing some toys to Mr. Dan Hooker at some point. He's going to show up and say, "You are the man. Here are some things for you to enjoy." I can see Linus grinning ear to ear just thinking about the Hangman is going to have a visit from the Great Pumpkin. And I will see you guys next week, hopefully to talk with a gentleman from Pod Houston. I'll leave you in suspense on that we could have a guest come on the show. Either it will happen this week or next week. And thank you guys for all the support. Continue to support all the shows in the YFB network. Go to yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog and check out all the links. It's always helpful if you want to make a donation on my Ko-fi page. Either way, that is your decision. I thank you for listening every single week. You are the Blockhead Nation. I'm proud of you. And this is Your Favorite Blockhead. And I'll see you next Saturday. Same Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel.